Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
I'm divorced. Surprise? I'll be talking to you later, Buttercup. I try to save my marriage. I went to counseling. Spent $5,000 to have two women call me a loser. My ex-wife said 5 years of me, she turned gay. Oh, yeah, it only took me 2 years. I'm not gay. Calm down. I would go gay. I just couldn't handle a guy breaking my heart and leaving me. That would suck. Bruce, where are you going? You better put that back. That's my his towel. Let me tell you, after 5 years of marriage, it is devastating to have the person with a good credit move out. My bills are so high, I don't own anything. My bills are like $3,000 a month. $3,000 a month, I don't own anything. 30 days in a month, that's like $100 a day. That's what it costs me to live, $100. I wake up in the morning, I open my eyes, I owe $100. I try to wake up with one eye open like that. I stink. I got two daughters, though. I love them to death. I tattooed their names on my arm. My 10-year-old, you got to see my 10-year-old. She is so beautiful. Both of my kids are beautiful. My 10-year-old has, like, blonde hair, right? The prettiest angel face. She is the most evil thing that walks this planet. She should have been born in a cornfield. I'm not lying. She almost got me beat up in the supermarket. This guy's walking down the aisle. This guy had to be 500 pounds of muscle. He walks by us, he just looks at us, and my 10-year-old says, "You got eye problems?" He looks at me and says, "What?" I go, "Hey, I didn't say it, she did." Okay? You're gonna whip some ass, I got your back. My 10-year-old knows how to push my buttons, man. Mommy's new husband put my bike together. What'd you say? He put my bike together. He's not lazy like you. Mommy said he has bigger feet. The other day we're getting out of the car, right? My oldest daughter didn't have her coat on. I said, "Just put your coat on before I tell your mother." My 10-year-old says, "You're the father, you deal with it." I go, "You know what? You're just like your mom." She goes, "No, I'm not, because I can still tolerate you."
This is Stand Up with Chris Stefano, and that was Rich Voss. Hey, Rich.
He was on Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn.
He was.
This is our Colin Quinn episode.
It was.
Tough Crowd.
Yeah, and Rich Voss will be selling CDs outside your house for $5 wrapped up in paper towels.
Colin Quinn.
Yes.
Who
is a good friend of mine.
Yes.
Which is like insane because I was like a Tough Crowd fan. I've been a fan of Colin Quinn
right.
since he was in fucking Look Who's Talking.
Not Look Who's Talking,
3 Men and a Baby.
Oh, yeah.
He was in the beginning of the very first 3 Men and a Baby. And
cool.
See the baby.
I remember watching that movie.
He's the baby.
3 Men and a Baby.
Picturing Colin Quinn as the baby.
Hey, give me that milk.
Hey, give me that fucking milk of fucking Colin Quinn. I remember watching that movie with my mom being like 5 or 6 years old and her being like, "I think that guy's from Brooklyn." So, and I was like, "Oh, wow, that's where we're from." And I remember like being like young, like in the mid-90s, like when he was on SNL,
yeah.
like watching Weekend Update and be like, "Oh, wow, that guy, like yeah. I love that guy. Like he sounds like my uncles. Like he looks like mm-hmm. guys from a neighborhood. Like, you know, you can identify with someone."
Yeah,
that totally. Was the guy I always identified with. Not wow. that I even had any aspirations wow. to be a comedian when yeah. I was young, but I was like, "Oh, this guy sounds like he's from my world."
Cool.
And I really, really, really
I
like
love
him.
That. And this is the Tough Crowd episode. So we're going to play all people from Tough Crowd.
Bonnie McFarlane, Patrice O'Neill, and Keith Robinson. So it's going to be fun.
Was there a person that really made you want to be a comic that you saw? Was there a light bulb, a flash of lightning moment?
I think when I saw Bill Burr's first HBO half-hour special, I remember watching it when I was like 22. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, wow, this guy is so fucking funny. I want to do what he does. Mm-hmm. But so I think him. But Colin was like a guy that I think everybody in the neighborhood was like, oh, yeah, Colin Quinn, he's like our hero. And when I started to get into stand-up, when I first got in at the Comedy Cellar, I remember I saw Colin Quinn like the second night I ever got in at that club. And I just like sat at the table and introduced myself. And he was like such a nice guy. Cool. But then we didn't really become friends until like 3 years in. He saw me do a set and he was like, hey, I have notes for you. And then we talked for like an hour. And then we became really close when we went to the Dublin Comedy Festival.
Shout out Bren Barry.
Shout out Bren Barry. I would love to go back. Dublin Comedy Festival. And every day, we were there for 5 days. And there was a lot of comedians, New York comedians there. Every day, he called my hotel room and we met for breakfast. And he bought me breakfast and would give me notes on the set I did before. Whoa. And then there was one day, like the fourth day, I was
I love him on a landline. I love that for him.
He only does that because he wouldn't get the Europe. He wouldn't get the phone plan for Europe. He said he thinks it's a ripoff. I was like, you're Colin Quinn, but okay. So he would only use the landline phone. And then I remember one day I was like, I actually have like a tag for you. He was like, no, kid. He was like, you're not giving me any tags. This is about you. I was like,
oh my God.
Yeah, he told me I couldn't give him a tag. I was like, all right, fair enough. And then we became like really cool. And I went to his wedding. That was like the real exclusive invite.
That's
it was like
so
fucking
cool.
Jerry Seinfeld is there. Wanda Sykes, Chrissy D, Chrissy Catholics.
Right. That's so cool that you like watched him like as a child and now
that's
you're friends with him.
Nicole,
like, that's really impressive.
Same question to you. Was there a comedian that made you want to do it or think I can do this?
Tig Notaro.
Cool.
Interesting. What her, like her? Which one?
Something about her delivery and like her calmness on stage.
No, but was there one like that? Which was there a special or a set or
podcast.
I mean that,
or podcast or that thing she did with John Doerr that was awesome.
Maybe like there's that bit with the stool where she just drags the stool across the stage.
Yeah,
and I was like, I want to be that stool. Just kidding. I was like, I want to. Or I don't the first special. Maybe Kyle Kinane also, because I was an intern here at Comedy Central when I was in college.
Yeah.
And so I had to listen to a lot of stuff, and he had an album that like I had to listen to or something. And his delivery and his, I don't know why, because we're not like very similar like in any way, but something about him or maybe even John Mulaney, those were like the three that when I was here as an intern, I was like, oh shit, like this is really fucking cool.
Yeah. Right, right. I think it's, I think more, it's just coincidental for me that I like a guy who is like me, like Colin Quinn. I think most times with comedians, I'll find people liking people that aren't like them to be the most. So I think they like people that aren't like them the most. So I think you liking Kyle and you're like, oh, but he's not like me is like very normal.
Yeah, I think.
Or more probable.
Yeah. I have no stand-up aspirations myself, but I just had a
realization,
which is that I had a moment where I was like, I'm a comedy fan.
When?
It was that Flight of the Conchords half-hour special on HBO
yes.
in like 2005
this is very
or something.
Chloe.
I know exactly. Well, that's what I'm realizing is that it was like me discovering comedy, them being international, loving that no one else knew who they were. Actually, I think that show they were on was called One Night Stand.
Damn it. Okay, we can't do that tour then.
And watching it with my brother, and then like we like knew about these guys before anyone else. And then when the show came on, they were like our guys. And that, I think, brought me a lot of joy. And that's kind of what I do for a living, frankly.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're discovering
exactly
the new peeps.
Exactly what you do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's why I like the 1975, because I feel like I was in early with them. Totally. I think anytime you get in early with someone, you're like, oh, I fuck with these people.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel that way about podcasts. Podcasts are the one thing I feel like a true early adopter of.
When did you start listening to podcasts?
Like 2011, 2012. And not only that, but I listened to so many comedy podcasts that I acquired all this knowledge that I think comedians also didn't realize what they were saying was being recorded at a certain moment in time.
I know what you mean.
So when I got the job as like a manager's assistant, I'd be like, okay, cool. Like take Sean Patton out to drinks tonight. And then I'd be like, cool, I'll listen to Sean Patton's episode of You Made It Weird and then know every single thing about him.
Sure.
And that access to people that I ended up actually working with was like very helpful, kind of
Hell
in a creepy way, but kind of in like a magical way.
I love old You Made It Weirds. Mm-hmm. Like that, like the really early ones. Oh my God.
Guy's a fucking
so
monster now.
So interesting.
Yeah. Well, I actually credit You Made It Weird kind of with a little bit of my career because when I was an NBC page, and I listened.
Were
to
you all, really?
Mm-hmm. I was listening to a lot of podcasts at the time.
Oh,
and
big
I got this.
I don't know what accent that is.
I want the fans to guess. Was that Chris DeStefano or Nicole Boyce just talking?
I saw like an email over the NBC page listserv, just like the people, you know, to be the assistant to comedy manager, and I knew who like Dave Rath was and Cara Welker, who I worked for. From listening to Pete Holmes' podcast, because he would talk about his manager.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I didn't know this job existed.
By the way, one of your old clients, Mike Cannon, just had a baby.
Oh,
Mike
my
and
God.
His wife.
Congrats, Mike Cannon.
Little Crew Cannon. Shout out Crew Cannon.
Crew, I love that.
CRU. Crew Cannon. We were supposed to visit. Me and Delilah were supposed to, my daughter was supposed to visit Crew today, but got canceled because Crew as having a lot of poopies.
Ooh.
So
crew poos.
So can't have. We gotta go take him to the doctor because he's pooping a little too much. That's okay.
Nicole Cannon, awesome lady.
Nicole Cannon, literally, and I know that this is all going to be okay because Mike has talked about it 1,000 times. Going to Mike Cannon and Nicole Cannon's wedding was the best wedding I've ever been to because Nicole Cannon, the future Miss Nicole Cannon, was so the opposite of a bridezilla. She was getting her makeup done, drinking a Budweiser, like a Bud Heavy. And I was like, I fucking love this woman, Mike. And like, if you die, like, I'm going to marry her. I was like, because like, I fucking love this. Like, she was so cool. She just didn't give a fuck. Like, you had to like drag her into hair and makeup.
Yeah.
And it's her wedding.
Yeah.
She was like, I just want you guys to have like a great time. Like, was that like a barn 2 hours upstate? There was no pressure. Like genuinely no pressure at all. Nothing had to be perfect. Nicole was like, if the pictures don't come out, it's fine. It's about me. Wow. Mike and I are married now.
Unheard
Whatever.
Of.
If we have memories, she was like, the memories are what's important. The pictures are not. I was like, wow, I love this lady.
I also love a wedding. Like they've been together since they were children. I love a wedding where it's like a long time coming and everyone's like, oh, this is going to last. Because a lot of us go to weddings where we're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, no.
Did you just happen to both be 30 at the same time?
Yeah. I will say the two weddings that I really saw that I really feel like I was in the presence of true love, honestly.
Yeah.
Mike and Nicole Cannon, and I'm being serious, Colin and Jen Quinn. When I went to Colin and Jen Quinn's wedding a month ago, I was like, these people, you know, they're older. They're both, I think, in their 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Been together for 20 years. It's time.
Amazing.
All for the right reasons. Everything. And that came across. First of all, it was the funniest wedding I was ever at because Tom Papa, the great Tom Papa, was the reverend.
Cool.
Hilarious. Colin Quinn was on the microphone from his dressing room while we were being loaded into the wedding.
That's amazing.
Talking shit, like voice of God, Mike, Colin Quinn's voice.
Whoa.
Like ripping people and sniping.
That is incredible.
And he just had to laugh. He literally.
That's so funny. That's such a great thing to do.
It was
so great.
Then Tom.
Just like color commentary on his own wedding.
Oh my God, it was hilarious. He was like, Jerry's here, everybody. Jerry Seinfeld. You know, like, he's like, Jerry's at my wedding. You know, he said hello to Jerry before he started the vows to his wife. It was so funny. He was
That's so funny.
He was like, obviously, Jen, you know, I love you so much, but there's something I have to say first. Hello, Mr. Seinfeld. and then he it was like killing. It was like,
so
it
funny.
Was so great.
Ugh.
And the food was, I mean, it was such a good time, his wedding. And same with Mike and Nicole. I was like, I'm in the presence of true love here. It made a difference where I've been at someone like, you know, you said our other friends' weddings. Like I was at a wedding 2 years ago and I was like, these people are not going to make it because she pushed him to marry her because she just wants to be married for Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to work. And they are officially divorced in less than 2 years. He moved out. The groom moved out 3 months into their marriage. Gone.
Oh my God.
Because it was all for the wrong reasons.
I have so much admiration for people that call off engagements because I'm sure it's the hardest thing in the world to do, but it's not as hard as a divorce.
Yeah.
And like, I'm always really respect that.
It is harder.
I don't know.
Did I ever tell you the story of when I worked on Party Boats? Have we ever talked about this on this podcast?
Let's talk about it after. Let's go to play
Bonnie McFarlane.
Bonnie McFarlane.
Who's married to Rich Voss.
And Patrice
people are waiting for Rich to die. Everybody wants to take a shot at Bonnie. We love Bonnie.
Awesome.
She's beautiful and hilarious and great mom. Shout out, Bonnie. I hope you die, Rich.
I'm an atheist. I'm a feminist. I'm a vegan. Let's have some fun. People are like, I want my money back. This is not what I signed up for. I am a vegan. Do we have vegans here tonight? That's what they sound like. And then they go right to sleep. It's late. You need to have your lentils. It's... I love being a vegan. It's no animal or animal byproduct of. I eat eggs because I'm also pro-choice, and it's important to me. I love animals. That is the. I have a dog that I love so much. It's crazy. I have a kid and a husband, but I love my dog so much. But she has a few issues. Like, she's codependent. If I leave the house, she gets crazy. She gets so mad, she barks and freaks out. But the coolest thing about my dog is that she never holds a grudge. When I come back, she's always so happy to see me. She's never sitting on the couch. Well, well, well. Look who decided to come back. My dog smokes. That's the bad. She's a rescue, so she still has some of the behaviors. I love summer because I love bird watching. I know people think that's so weird, but I do. I just got into it so much. And a couple years ago, I started studying bird calls. I know, but now when I go outside, I hear when I go, that's a bird. I can differentiate them from the land animals. I'm doing pretty good. I have a daughter who's 11, and I think, and she can't sit in the front seat, so I'm pretty sure. This is the thing, if you have a kid, if you have a daughter especially, your job is to keep them safe. You know, that's your job. You just look at the world, you're just scanning for bad people. You know, you're just, I say people, but I mean men. You're just scanning. And all you do, you just have to judge somebody based on how they look. You know, that's the only system that we have. Like, so if a guy has a center part, I get my kid away from him. I go, no, not today, weirdo. Not on my watch. If a guy's wearing those shoes with individual toe slots, I go, no, you're not taking piano lessons from that guy. I don't care if he plays the piano with his feet, with his shoes on. Because you have to be aware. You have to just constantly, you know, you have to be vigilant about, look for red flags. My neighbor the other day, he's standing in his front window eating cotton candy. I called the cops. That is not an at-home food. Not one of us here is eating cotton candy in our homes. No, but toxic men are a problem, seems like lately. And this guy mansplained the women's movement to me recently. He was like, hey, you know what? Feminists better pump the brakes on this whole equality thing because it's going to be a disaster zone up in here. This city's going to be underwater because the ice caps are melting. And I don't think you want to give up that whole women and children first card just yet. I was like, that guy has a point. Let's put our pussy heads away for a moment and just take a step back, see where we're at. I don't want to get my hair wet. But then I was like, there is no women and children first card. It's just children first, and then somebody has to take care of the children, and men would rather drown. Don't act like you gave that to us. That was your choice. No, I don't know what we're going to do about male toxicity, but I'll tell you something I know about birds. Only 4% of the bird population is male. It's almost all women, and it wasn't always like that. In the beginning, it was 50-50, like half women, half men. But what was happening is that these birds in the beginning had big penises, big peni. I don't know how you say it. Probably. But they did. They could still fly. That's weird. But what the birds were doing is they were beating the female birds with their penises, which sounds like fun to us. But the female birds didn't like it. So what they did to retaliate was they only would have sex with birds with small penises until they eventually, like, evolved male birds out of the species almost entirely. So ladies, what I'm suggesting Let's think long term on this. Let's go big picture. For equality. Women are like, I think we're good.
So, Nicole.
Yeah.
You know I like jogging, playing my music. You know how I care about my earbuds.
Yeah.
You know I love my earbuds. I love my ears.
You tell me all the time. You've told me
I have cute ears, and that makes me feel comfy.
Yes.
That makes me feel comfy.
You have good ears. And your ears deserve good headphones.
My ears get good headphones. And guess where I get them from?
Where?
Raycon. Genuinely the best earbuds I've ever had. I'm being dead serious, Nicole. Truly, like, freaking Snoop Dogg uses these.
Yeah.
Like Snoop Dogg.
Cardi B, Melissa Etheridge.
Brandy, J.R. Smith, Ray J. Ray J founded the company.
Love it.
Raycon. Hello, Raycon, Ray J.
Ah.
Raycon earbuds. What I love about them is this. Number one, they're about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market. Half the price. So, like, when we're talking about money, which we usually are, Raybuds are half the price.
Yeah.
And 2019, it's like you need earbuds. Like, who wants wires anymore?
You need wireless.
Wireless
Absolutely.
Earbuds.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about anything. They're in your ear. You're good to go.
Yeah.
Sometimes you look like a psychopath. People are like, are they talking to themselves? And they're like, no, they're not talking to themselves. They have Raycon earbuds.
Just got my Raycons on.
Yes.
Sorry.
So what we need you to do is go to Raycon.com, Raycon, Raycon.com/standup. To get 15% off your order. If you use our promo code STANDUP, raycon.com/standup, 15% off your order. That's a lot of percentage points.
That's a lot of percentage points, too.
And if you've been eyeing a pair, now's the time to get an amazing deal. So, Nicole, I say we buy our girlfriends Raycon earbuds, and we go to raycon.com/standup and get 15% off. What do you say?
I think I might do that, yeah.
Okay, fine.
Sounds good. I'm going to go do it now.
Let's go do it. Listen, we talk about comedy here a lot, and that's great. But you know what else I want to talk about? ShipStation. I love ShipStation. It's the number one choice of online sellers. Do you know why? Because you'll ship more in less time with the best rates available. You ship stuff.
All the time.
Seriously.
I ship stuff. And you ship stuff too.
Absolutely. And we sell stuff online. So when you're getting your orders out, that's like legit annoying sometimes. But ShipStation, ShipStation.com makes it real easy. It's fast, it's easy, and most important, affordable. I don't really have that much money, babe.
Yeah. But shipping can really adds up.
ShipStation's like, listen, we know you don't have money. That's why we're here. ShipStation.com.
We're here to help you.
It doesn't cost that much money to use us. ShipStation.com. And as of right now, Stand Up with Chris DiStefano listeners.
Yeah.
Guess what? Do you believe what I'm about to tell you is nuts? You can try ShipStation, not for 5% off, not for 10% off. For free.
Oh my gosh.
For 60 days. That's two rounds of birth control. Free for 60 days. ShipStation. Use the promo code STANDUP. That's capital STANDUP. STANDUP. ShipStation.com for free for 60 days. Use that promo code STANDUP. ShipStation.com. Make ship happen.
I feel bad for white dudes, man. White dudes can't be racist. That's all white dudes do all day long, trying to prove they're not racist. What you feel about the OJ verdict? That's the downfall of white guys, the OJ verdict. Hey man, you upset black dude killed a white woman? I'm upset when any man kills any woman for any reason. I'm walking through Harlem. I'm kind of lost right now, but I see a few black guys walking towards me, but I can't run if I start running now. They'll call me a racist. Run, stupid, run, right? Run, get home, right? Feel guilty, but be alive. I'd rather be guilty and alive than like feeling good about myself and dead whatever, man. If I'm in Kentucky and I see five bald white dudes walking towards me, I ain't gonna wonder if they got cancer. I'm gonna go, oh man, I'm running. Even if they go, dude, wait, come here, man, don't run. We're coming for chemotherapy class. Like, white women make me real nervous. White women make me nervous as hell. Not right now, because it's witnesses, but I'm talking about Like at night when they by themselves, you know what I mean? Walking towards me. And she could be nervous too. I'm a big dude. Like, oh, Jesus, you know, big black guy is walking towards me. Hope he doesn't grab, you know, getting that fantasy going. Hope he doesn't grab me with his big black arms and throw me in a trunk. And I'm thinking the same thing, like, oh, Jesus. I hope nobody kills this white woman because I'm going to get blamed for it. That's why, look, I do a lot of stuff to protect myself, man. I keep my receipts. I collect receipts because that's a trail of where you've been, man. Everywhere I go, I get a receipt. I don't care. And I never go more than a half hour without buying something because you can kill somebody in a half hour and then you ain't going to have, you need an alibi. So every 15 minutes, I buy something. Stick of gum. Can I get my receipt for that, please? We don't have receipts for gum, my friend. Well, you're going to have to... We don't have receipts. Well, look, you're going to have to write me one or something. I got to have the receipts. We don't have receipts. And then, you know, if it's like that, I'll end up arguing with him just to, you know, so he remembers me. You know what I mean? Give me my goddamn receipt, pussy. What? You heard me, punk. That's you. Yeah, kiss my ass. Yeah, kiss my ass, too. What time is it? 5:15. All right. You were in here messing with me at 5:15. You wasn't up killing someone because you're in here f***ing with me. That's why I don't litter. I don't throw garbage in the street. Not because I care about the earth, but I'm afraid I'm going to be walking through the park drinking a soda. And when I'm done, I just throw it on my shoulder, fly over a bush, and land on some dead white woman's head with my fingerprints on the can. Now I'm the Pepsi Cola rapist because I'm lazy.
That was Bonnie McFarlane, Patrice O'Neill, legends, RIP Patrice. He unfortunately passed away right when I started, so I never got a chance to meet him. But all the stories that the older comedians tell are like the funniest things ever of like how just mad he was all the time and how brilliant he is.
Yeah.
But great. You were telling us a funny story.
I was telling us, because we were talking about weddings and how when you're the presence of true love and how you can tell like when you're not.
Yes.
So I used to bartend on these boats, right? That used to leave out of Sheepshead Bay, Russian Mafia. And my girlfriend at the time when I was 21's dad owned the boats and was like a captain of the boats.
Oh, sick.
Sick. Captain's so like my daughter. Boys used to come on like, like my friends would come on, like whatever. It's like, you know, getting like all that. I've seen like New York City, like from the water. Like I've been on like 4th of July, like right by the fireworks around the Statue of Liberty, like crazy shit. Like,
do you like really like boats? Because last week we were talking about, you said your perfect day is with boats.
Mm-hmm.
I like two going boats. On ferries, not like my own.
Okay.
I think it's because my dad used to always take me on the Staten Island Ferry when it was his weekends to pick me
there
up.
There we go.
That's where I think it comes from.
That's the answer I
want. When I was a little kid, I think we would always be on the ferry. Okay. So I think that's where it comes from.
Your dad lived on Staten Island when you were growing up?
Yeah, and he didn't have a car.
Okay.
So, okay. Okay.
Boat ride
story.
Bar. Bartender.
So bartender on these boats.
Yeah.
Very often.
Yeah.
They would have weddings on the boats. That was like, as per usual, at least once a month, wedding on the boat. We knew the drilly.
Yeah.
They would have the ceremony on the top deck, food and drinks middle. Then you come upstairs, Statue of Liberty, blah, 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 fucking beautiful wedding, whatever. One wedding we go to, we're there, 2 o'clock, wedding, same start. Groom's there, everybody's there, bride's late. It happens, whatever.
Wait, but it's a boat. How are you... Oh, you haven't taken off yet.
We're docked. We're on the we're still at the docks. Because what happened was everybody obviously get on the boat. We would do the ceremony, so there's no like problems. The ceremony would be on the boat dockside.
Mm-hmm.
Then the party. We go into the ocean
or go into the river. That's a good way to capture a spouse. To capture a spouse is if you go and you marry them in the middle of.
yeah.
You do it in the middle of the ocean so they can't leave.
Right.
No one can object.
Right. That's a good call. I never thought about that. And it's like, if we go out further enough, it's like, is the marriage even legal if it's in international waters?
Wait, hold on, Nicole. Why can no one object if you're in the middle of the water?
Because you can't leave, so you're just stuck there.
Yeah, good call. You could go to the second deck. As a matter of fact, you know what's funny you say that? Because I haven't thought about it in so long. I think there were certain weddings that insisted on having them in the water.
Yeah.
And I believe people could, if they wanted to. There was some rule about, there was something.
Like,
about the state of New York. I forgot what it was. Maybe it wasn't the objection. There was some rule about the second deck, about you could go. below.
You could go
on the second floor and not be at the wedding. Something, I forgot what it was, actually.
Okay.
It was some legal rule that they just had to read to us. Mm-hmm. So we knew, but I was like half paying attention. I was like playing Snake on my Nokia. You know, that's what it was those times. So anyway, 2 o'clock, bride doesn't show up. 2:30, bride doesn't show up. 3 o'clock, this bride doesn't show up. You see her mom. It's just her mom, the bride's mom, walking onto the boat.
Oh, no.
We're like, oh, boy. So the bride says, the bride's mom gets on the microphone and says, my daughter, I'll never forget, her name was Susan. Like, Susan has had second thoughts, and she doesn't want the wedding to take place today. Thank you guys so much, but, you know, unfortunately, there's not going to be a wedding, and blah, 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 blah. The groom was drinking because he, you know, knew everybody at 2:45. We're all like,
that also doesn't come out of nowhere.
We're like this isn't great.
First, yeah,
this isn't great. Like, brides have been late, but it's like, this is late.
Like in the Sex and the City movie, Carrie knew instantly when he wasn't going to show up.
And like nobody, and like, yeah, like we knew, like there were no calls. Like normally when the bride had been late before, it's like, hey, I'm 5 minutes away, or hair and makeup, whatever it may be. You're communicating with the wedding planner. But this wedding planner's like, yeah, the bride's just like, her phone's off. So it's like, whoopsie. Ooh. So she goes, bride's mom says, we're not going. So we're like, oh, cool. I was like, oh, fucking cool. Like, we can just, like, get out of work. And the groom grabs the microphone from the mom, like, grabs it from the mom. And he was like, I'm not letting fucking Susan ruin another day of my life. He was like, this party, he was like, we already paid for it. I guess the groom's family had paid for it, which is not traditional. Usually the bride's family does.
Yeah.
He's like, my family, we already paid for it. We're taking this fucking boat out. We're going to party. And people like, are you with? He was like, are you with me? And one person was like, like nobody was like, we were like, it was like dead silent. But the captain of the boat, my girlfriend's dad, was like, they did pay for it.
Yeah.
We have an obligation. Yeah. We have their money.
Yeah.
We, you know, we have to do it. If they want to do it, we have to do it. He said, he told the staff, he's like, just think of it as it's not a wedding. It's just a party now. You know, we do those too. So that's it. We're just no ceremony.
Oh my God.
And we'll go out the same route, 3 hours. So the groom's having a good time.
Oh my God.
Everyone went?
Everybody stayed on. The bride's family got off.
Yeah. That makes sense.
A good amount of the bride's family got off. Not everybody.
Yeah.
Her immediate family, the bridesmaids got off.
Yeah.
The bridesmaids got off. And I think one groomsman got off, but only because he was married to one of the bridesmaids.
Right.
He had to go.
Smart.
The rest of the groomsmen
stayed.
Yeah, he had to leave. Like, you would get in so much fucking trouble if you stayed on and left your wife. So he came. He got off. But I would say 70% of that boat was still on. It actually got to a point like an hour and a half into the wedding, hour and a half into the ceremony. Hour and a half into the boat ride. We forgot there was even a wedding. Like, we forgot. We were like, this is just a party. People are having fun. The groomsman was making out with some woman. Like, I was like, I can't, what? Like, it was crazy because the bride's family was gone. So, like, this guy was probably like trouble.
Wait, the groom?
The groom. I don't know why I'm saying groomsman, because I said bridesmaids. The actual groom.
The groom was making out with someone.
Was making out with a woman.
Oh,
the actual groom was making out
with
a woman.
It was probably someone's date.
Probably. Yeah, like, it was pandemonium. So it's like, I don't know, maybe now it's like, by the time it's like 6 o'clock. So it's still daylight, but it's like, we're going to start heading back. We're going around the Statue of Liberty. So the groom's like, fuck it. He was like on the microphone like, fuck it. We're having a party. Fuck it, whatever. All of a sudden, we see the groom go to the back of the boat, jumps off the boat. Jumps completely off the boat, like tried to kill himself in the middle. Like, he tried to commit suicide in front of us all. Like, and you're not going to die. It's a tall boat. It was like a, you know, it's like a big boat. Like, it's a very big, it's got 3 decks.
Yeah.
So like, you're not going to die, but you could have gotten, like, he was trying to kill. I think he thought from that height he would kill himself.
Oh my God.
Just in the water now, like, flailing. He could swim, but, like, flailing. And I'm the one that saw it because I was bartending the back boat. And I saw him walking by, like just like a drunk stumble. And I was like, you know, people can go to the back. There's, like, the sunset there. I see him walking by. And then I just, like, for whatever reason, didn't go back to making a drink. I was just, like, something in me was like, this guy doesn't look right. So it wasn't even a thought. Like, he just stepped up onto the rail and jumped. And I was like, Captain! I was like, man overboard. And he was like, what? I was like, the groom just jumped off the boat. So he stopped. me, I had to, like, you know, there's first mates on the boat, but like I'd been, because I had been worked on that boat as a first mate, I knew what to do too. We threw the life, you know, the whole situation, life rest, the boat's lowered, got him on the boat. And like then he was just like shaking and crying until we got back to Brooklyn. And he was like, my life's over, like all that. Like I've never seen like a turn of events like that. Where I was like, this guy, like, I totally 100% agree with the wife not showing up. I agree with Susan. I was team Susan. After I saw the fucking mental, this guy wasn't mentally all there. Like, you're making out with girls, fucking pretty much yelling at the mom of the bride, and then you tried to commit suicide all in 3 hours.
Wow.
Oh, and he, like, took his shirt off. Like, he was like, it was, like, nuts. So I was just like, that was, I felt like for that one, I was not in the presence of true love.
No, that one, maybe not. Yeah. Definitely some questions there about it.
That was nuts. That was a nuts.
That's so crazy. That's a lot of twists and turns in that story as well.
And then real quick, just not even long at all, but just quickly, I also did a bartended on a Russian mafia boat one, and the captain, my girlfriend's father, wasn't there. So I was kind of in charge. I wasn't the captain, but I was kind of like running it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle of, sometimes we would go out kind of into the middle of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And not really, but like you were, and they threw somebody off the boat. And when you had to count, you had to do like a numbers count at the end and make sure. And we were missing one. And the guy was like, oh yeah, we lost one in the ocean. He was fucking annoying me. So I threw him off the boat. So I called the police. I had to. I called the police and then I was told I would be contacted and whatever. And like, it was a whole like legal thing and nobody ever called me. Like the police just dropped it. Like I'm telling you, threw somebody into the water and I was there. It's nuts.
Oh my God. That's so scary. Wait, what was the event? Why were they, was it a wedding?
They would, no. They would like rent the boat out to like party. Like a lot of people just use that as like a nightclub on the boat. Yeah, but they threw, somebody was not on that boat and you know.
Oh,
weren't in the middle of the ocean, so they could have very easily survived and swam somewhere. So maybe that's what it was. They were like laughing about it, but there was missing person that I was involved in 2004.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah. Not I wasn't involved in it, but I called the police.
Yeah, very suspicious. The captain was gone that day and you were in charge. That's the day someone disappears off the boat.
Nothing.
Nicole, you are Love Islanding all over
place. You got that right, bruv. I've been watching a lot of Love Island, so me and my friends are all talking
is that what, what's
British
what,
accents.
Is that CBS? What's Love Island?
It's the American version is.
Yeah, but it's a UK show.
Did it just come out, Love Island, on CBS?
The American version did, yeah.
When did it come out?
A few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I was supposed to be the voiceover.
What?
Yeah, I guess I didn't get it.
You know why that's ironic? Because Joel Dommett, the UK Chris DiStefano, is like the after show Love Island guy in the UK.
Interesting.
Yeah, him and
that would have been so sick.
I was supposed to. Mina, you know, recorded it, everything. I thought I was going to be the guy.
Who do we think it is now? Do you watch the American one or just the British one?
I don't watch the American one. No. It's someone I hadn't heard of. The host is like.
Host is Ariel Vandenberg. Vandenberg.
Who I didn't know at one point dated.
Yes.
Yes.
Correct.
Oh my God, I have to go.
All right, Chris has to go. Next week
we're done anyway, right?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Finish this puppy with Keith Robinson.
Yes. Keith Robinson, another tough crowd.
Yeah.
Alumni,
Keithy.
Cellar staple. Icon.
Make sure
fucking
to watch
icon.
This week at the Cellar on Comedy Central.
Used to drive Kevin Hart from Philly to New York every day before Kevin Hart was a star.
Wow, he was getting driven around before he was a star.
Keith Robinson, let me tell you just something, commitment to comedy. Keith Robinson, Big J Okerson, Kevin Hart.
I think you told us.
Yeah,
you
did.
Used to drive to Philly to New York every day. Mm-hmm. And then after 9/11 happened, it would take them like 5 hours with traffic, and they still would come every day. And they would all work day jobs back in Philly. And then
in Philly?
Come at night, yeah.
Wow.
Commitment to comedy. That's what
commitment
it takes.
Commitment to comedy.
All right. See you next week, Chris. Bye.
Bye.
I knew white folks was in trouble, man. I was watching ESPN looking for some sports. I see a damn spelling bee on. How you gonna make spelling a damn sport? We can't outjump them without spelling. And this little boy, he on there spelling, shaking. L. Oh. And he passed out. And the woman commentator had the nerve to say, this has never happened before. Of course it's never happened before, you dumb bitch. It's a spelling bee. The hell? Those are kids ain't as tough as when I was coming up, man. They're not. They don't have it like that, man. You know what I mean? I seen this one little boy on CNN. He showed footage of him on a school bus getting his ass whipped. All the little kids was taking shots at him. I'm like, fight back, you little bitch. What the hell are you doing? You're not Gandhi. Fight. And his mom was watching it with him. Look what they're doing to my baby. I'm like, what the hell is this? If that was my mom, and she seen a tape of me getting my ass whooped and not fighting back, that'd have been two tapes made.
Miss Robinson's really whooping his ass. Look at that.
It don't make sense, man. My son who I love, just had his first fight at 10 years old. By the time I was his age, I had a gun charge and a sexual assault against me. What the hell, man? I try to teach him how to fight too, man, you know what I mean? And people tell him, what you teach him how to fight for? How about his ABCs? ABCs ain't gonna help him if somebody trying to take his money. Give me your money. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I teach him, man. I used to wrestle. You gotta learn how to wrestle too, man. That's what I used to do. I used to wrestle. I was good, you know? I could have won a high school championship. Those bastards threw me off the team after one match. Racism, that's what I say. But they gonna say I didn't know the difference between TV wrestling and real wrestling. All because I would show up to my matches with a cape and a mask on. I was a Black Scorpion, that was my name. Had my little cape swirling around the guy's head. But he caught me out there, though. The son of a bitch caught me out there. Got me in a fireman carry. Got me down. He's about to pin me, but I didn't panic. I'm a bad guy. I came prepared for that. Had a bag of salt in my tights, right? Threw it in his eyes. He gonna start to scream like a bitch. What the hell is wrong with you? I can't see. The crowd, they gonna start to boo me. But I like that. I'm a bad guy.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.